Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. It's 1 week before Christmas. I hope everyone is doing all those things that they want to do to get ready for Christmas, and things are going well. As I mentioned last week, we will not be on a week from today, Christmas Day. And I'm thinking we may not even be on for New Year's. So this really is like end of the year type of show. And I want this show, if it's any way possible, to be a real conversation in terms of people calling in and addressing the theme of the show, and which, as you know, if you see our promotion, it asks the question, are you or we better off now at the end of the year than we were when the year first started? And that question is kind of so open-ended in that you could relate it to just the political environment. You could relate it to yourself individually. You could relate it to what's happening in public education. You could relate it to a whole lot of different things. And once I sort of like put it out there, I've been thinking, how are people going to take this? And should I have provided more information? But then I decided, basically, I want to leave the forum open. And if people want to talk about how they are and where they are at the end of this year individually, or how it's impacted their family, that's fine. They want to talk about their city, their state, even their perspective on the country. And also, I didn't want to make it all about Trump. I deliberately left that out in terms of the description, because we could do, I don't know how many shows on what we think, how we would answer that question, are we worse or better off as a result of Trump? We can talk about that if people call in, but don't want that to be the focus of the show. And so let me remind you again, we have this toll-free call-in number that you can call in. You can listen on that number, and you can also be part of the conversation from this number. And that number is 888-627-6008. Okay, so I usually don't remember the number to give, and now I am, because again, it would be nice if someone calls in. Let me start out by telling you how I came up with the theme for today. You know, I'm here in Buffalo. Buffalo, if you don't know, sits on Lake Erie, a big, big lake. And like other places where you are surrounded by bodies of water, that can have an impact on the weather, and particularly on storms and rain and snow and what have you. They have here, and they've been telling me about this for I don't know how long, there's a lake effect, that when it snows in particularly, and the snow is coming across the lake, there's a sort of big-time effect that can be overwhelming. People have, in the past, I'm just learning some of this history. In the past, people have been caught in this lake effect storm type thing on the highway, the cars. People have had accidents. People have died. People have been in cars trying to wait it out and have died. People have been caught in elevators and buildings, and it can be devastating. Okay. This past Wednesday, there was going to be a big snowstorm, okay? For the last 2 weeks at least, I've been going over to the university library, which is about a 20-minute walk from me, and it's cold, freezing, that type of cold, but I go every day, and I stay 10, 12 hours a day. Well, this particular Wednesday, the earlier part of the day, it was nice, it was sunny, but still cold, and I knew it was going to snow, but nothing was said, at least I won't say, I didn't know anything about the lake effect possibility. Bottom line, I get to the library. It did snow a little bit, just no big thing. I get to the library, and just a few hours before it was time to leave, this lake effect thing took place. Blinding snow, wind, 30 seconds out in the snow, you look like a snowman. Library closes at 11 o'clock. I have to leave the library. Snow is up to almost my knee. I'm trekking what normally would take me 15 to 20 minutes. Took me 40 minutes to get home eventually. It was horrendous. I'm from the Midwest, Detroit. I've seen snowstorms, but this thing was incredible. I finally get home. I'm frozen to death. I'm tired, as I have not been in such a long, long, long time, physically tired. So I lay on the bed, literally, for 2 hours. And then I decided, why don't you just go to bed? So I did that. But before I went to bed, I'm laying on the bed, and I'm thinking, like, wow, did I make a mistake coming here? This thing today hit me like I have not been hit before in such a long time. I was so tired, and it was so treacherous. And so I'm thinking, I don't know how it happened, but I can start thinking about, wow, am I better off by being here like I thought I was going to be? Or should I stay in Los Angeles or what have you? And that last sentence in terms of am I better off, I flash back to, and maybe many of you will remember this, the 1980 presidential election, Ronald Reagan up against Carter. There was a Machiavellian promotion ad campaign like you wouldn't believe. And it went something like this. Reagan, or his voice, they showed all the problems that the United States were having then and during the last 4 years. And if you can remember back, there was a situation where the Iranians overthrew the Shah and they trapped some of our people in the embassy, held them hostage for a long time. Carter couldn't get them out. Then the Arab oil cartel, they froze us out on oil. It was an oil shortage. Then there was a financial crash. Interest rate went up to 22-24%. Jobs were lost. It was some bad times. Reagan's ad showed all of this, and at the very end he said in his voice, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? Of course, most people were not better off, but it was so clever. Anyway, I thought about that. I said, that's what I'm going to do for our end of the year show. I'm going to raise this question. Are we or are you better off at the end of the year than you were at the beginning of this year? Now, this year, some things that happened this year, of course, were put in place last year and years before, so that to be able to say that are you better off or yes or no, it's kind of a loaded question in that we're talking about perhaps a cumulative effect. And also, as I just said, and I want to say it again, it's a loaded question in that are you, we, I can be such a big thing that people can come at it all kinds of ways. And what I decided to do is try and remind us of some of the things that have happened this year that impact pretty much the IT community, and maybe then take it a little bigger picture in terms of how does it impact our society, blah, blah, blah. Okay. One of the things is we have this new ESEA, Student Achieve, that was passed. Many people, while it was being, quote, debated, and I use that word very loosely, were preaching the idea that we're going to take the feds out of education, at least this part of education. We're going to put it back into the hands of the 50 states where we think we may have a better chance of having more public input, public control over this part of education once we take the heavy hand of the feds out. Okay, so we have the new ESEA or Student Achieve. And the question is, are we, are you, better off because we have it? We didn't have it last year. It's been on the books now for some time, and going forward, it's going to be there for a while. So are we better off? Anyone want to comment on that?
You have a caller?
Ah, we do have a caller. Are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
And you are?
Tori Bottomley, and I want to say happy holidays.
Hey, Tori. Long time no see or talk. How are you?
Yeah, I am well.
Maybe I shouldn't ask that question. We're talking about better off, not better off. And the first thing I do is go, oh, how are you? Okay, so what's up, Tori?
Well, I thought I would mention my spiritual state. I feel that spiritually I am worse off, and I think that has to do with certain events that have happened that has really shown me that the people are not represented, and our voice is, if it's heard, it doesn't matter. And, you know, I would say that we saw that with the election of Bernie, you know, the primary elections when the populace clearly wanted Bernie and that was suppressed. What Brian mentioned last week about, and you, well, both of you, vis-a-vis unions, so separate from their members and, you know, lack of consciousness that, you know, they take members' dues, but don't feel bad about not representing them. And then I think also what's been so sad for me has been the issue with the North Dakota pipeline. And, you know, I think the beauty of that is that, you know, it really represents the best of our country because all different kinds and types of people are there protesting together for Mother Earth. And I think the other thing, the last thing I'll mention is media. You know, I've been spiritually injured because I don't believe the media. And aside from lack of belief, I'm sad because they suppress the stories that the people need and want to hear.
Well, I think you would sum that up that you're saying that at the end of this year, you feel that you're worse off than you were maybe at the beginning of the year.
In terms of my spirit, my spirituality.
Yes, well, you know, whatever level.
Yeah. Yep.
Whatever level you're working on.
Yeah.
It's what we're really, you know, asking the question, what's there? I won't say it was broken, but it's maybe seriously wounded or something of this nature. And I know you since we've met on one of the road trips when we met up in Albany, New York, trying to get more protection for teachers from bullying, being bullied by principals and others in the school system. You guys, you and a few other people came over from Boston to join a contingent from here in New York. And so I know what you're talking about because we've had conversations, and you've been on the show previously as well. So what you're saying is basically the answer to the questions I mentioned just a moment ago is that at whatever level you're coming from, you feel that you're worse off at the end of the year than you were at the beginning of the year. Wherever you were at the beginning of the year. And I certainly understand that, and I think anyone listening heard what I heard too. So, you want to stick around, or if not?
Well, I guess I was just reflecting on your program a year ago, and in that program, you were reflecting a lot about would you continue with the program, what direction you would go, and such and such. So that passed through my mind as well. How, and I wonder where are you now with that, with your feeling about your commitment to the show and the direction of the show?
Oh, you are so clever. All right.
No, we're friends.
Get you.
So I feel like we're
friends. We're friends. I'm going to get you, girl, okay? Well, all right. Because I wasn't really going to get into me, but that reflection comes in February. We started this show in the month of February, and so towards the end of February, I start reflecting on the year and what have I done? Have I done the things that I wanted to do? How did I do them? Did I do them as well as I wanted to do? Is there any more that I want to say? I don't want to start repeating myself and talking about the same thing over and over again. Am I resonating with people? Are people out there actually listening? And if so, how many, or is that even important to me that anyone listen, as opposed to me being able to say what I have to say? And if no one is listening, I've at least done what I wanted to do. So those things will come. In fact, I was just thinking about some of it earlier this week, and I'm saying it's too early to start thinking about that. But yes, since you turned the tables on me, sure, I have been thinking about, say, a yearly end of year type of time frame, as well as I said, my February to February time frame. And you know what, Tori? Now I think more about it. I remember having this conversation with myself, saying, if I make comments, those people who have been listening to the show for a long time, like yourself, you guys are going to know exactly what I'm going to say. And so I shouldn't probably say anything because you know my stance on the issues. You know my stance on the people, the personalities that we're fighting against. And as last week's show demonstrated, talking about the unions. So you guys know usually where I'm coming from. So I think if I were to say anything formally, like right this minute, I would say I want to say depressed, because I expect and have expected most of the things that have happened to us. That's the pessimist that my friend up in Connecticut always say, Jesse Turner, that I'm a pessimist, and I always say he's an optimist. But then I correct him and say, I like to think of myself as a realist.
Yes.
And the realist in me says, most of the stuff that has happened, I expect it. The few good things that have happened, and I'm talking about now our war. I was very happy, like you guys in Massachusetts, turned back the charter industry. And I think it was Tennessee, turned back the governor's attempt to take over more the public schools and start what people call the Achieve, what do they call it now? The Achievement District or something of that nature. And that was turned back. North Carolina, even though it's up in the air, a new governor who was able to unseat the Republican demagogue. I said it, folks. That's my opinion. And the attorney general and a few other people that were elected. Those things I didn't expect, but I'm glad, very glad, that they happened. And at the end of the day, my answer, am I better off? Which is where I started in terms of having made the move from sunny California to here and having been here now 2 months, almost a little bit to the day. Some things have gone not quite the way in which they were supposed to go, but then some new things have surfaced that may be just as good as the things that were supposed to surface that haven't so far. So I'm optimistic, Jesse, if you were there, about coming here. But overall, as it relates to the war, I'm not surprised at all as to where we are at the end of the year. And in my view, we are definitely worse off than better off.
And I would say that's why programs such as yours are even more important now than before, because of the suppression of discussion of topics that really are important to most of the people. And so we need a place to, share our thoughts and feel heard and reach out to have such a huge audience reaching out and listening. And, maybe people can't tune in Sunday evenings, but I'm sure, such as right now, this afternoon, I listened to last week's show with Brian. I think that this is really important. So I, for one, appreciate this venue and appreciate your energy and effort. And I thank you for the moment of pause to reflect. So I'll sign off now. Have a great holiday season and a happy new year.
Thank you, and you made my day.
Okay,
and
take
you,
care.
You are the person that the show was created for. And again, as I tell people, I always try and be fully open about things. I do know Tori, and I've talked to Tori by phone, and we talk by messenger and that sort of stuff. And Tori, you are the quintessential person that the show was created for, and I truly, truly love the fact that I had a chance to meet you and that you are still listening to the show, and you're what I'm here for. Thank you very much, and you have a great holiday season.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Wow, folks, that was really something. Okay, move on. Speaking of something she just said about archives, we have, at times, people who come to the archives, and for those of you who maybe are new, the show, every show is recorded and put into an archive that hopefully will stay there until the next nuclear war. That's supposed to be a joke, folks, but anyway. So it's for posterity, if all goes well. Some of the shows, we get people coming to the archives. The first 30 days that shows are in the archive, maybe over 1,000 within the first 30 days and continuing. So what Tori said really does happen. You know, people, if you can't make it to the live show, they do make it to the archives, and some huge numbers. Okay. Another topic. Detroit, Flint. I bet they would say they are worse off than they were at the beginning of the year now, given what has happened to Detroit, and of course, given what's been happening to Detroit for years. But having spent two parts of two different road trips there and gotten to know the people there, I can't speak to them. I wish someone from Detroit or Flint would call in and give us what they actually feel right there on the ground. But if I am going to sort of like speak for them to some extent, I would say they have very little to be able to say they are better off at the end of this year than they were at the beginning of this year. Across the board, I don't know of anything that has happened in Detroit and or Flint that would be considered a positive. For example, in Detroit, the governor pushed through his reorganization plan, creating a new Detroit public school system, and the old public school system remaining with billions of dollars debt. The new Detroit plan, they are debt-free, and it's right out of the playbook of 2008 when some of the automobile industries there, particularly GM, I think it was GM, and Chrysler, they were very hard hit. They were on the verge of bankruptcy, if not technically in bankruptcy. And what GM did was created a new GM that would start afresh, no debt, and the old GM would retain all of the debt. The government bought it, helped finance it, and hence you had this new thing, the new GM. Well, Snyder used that model in Detroit to say, these billions of dollars that you are in debt, a lot of which we are responsible, we being the state government, and we're going to just walk away from it. Oh, but we're going to leave it with the old Detroit public school system, and it will eventually collapse under the weight of this debt. And in this place will be this new Detroit public school system, which, by the way, will be damn near all charter schools. And probably, if they have their way, eventually they will all be charter school. And so that, and Flint, you know about Flint, 100,000 people who live in Flint subject to toxic water for I don't know how long. They don't either. So I would say, guessing, Flint and Detroit, they would come down on end of the year is worse than it was at the beginning of the year. Another area that we were really exposed to starting the beginning, the end of last year. And for me, it was in October last year when I was in Connecticut. And Jolie got in touch with me to say, do you know about this and this person? And she was talking about a woman in Maine, Emily Talmadge. And Emily were telling us about basically what ed technology is really going to be about when it's fully rolled out in this country, based upon some early experiments that were conducted there in Maine that came out of Alaska. And she was, for me at least, she was playing the role of a George Orwell. She was giving us this warning that now almost all of us in ed community are familiar with. And that warning, I said, for me, started in middle of October of last year. But this year, it has spread like wildfire. And under the guise of personalized learning or competency and the role that technology, the computer and software will play in this. And I have said many, many times that we're looking at the future. If nothing else, what is happening in the area of ed technology under this guise of personalized learning is the Mac agenda being revealed in terms of its ultimate destination or goal. And for those of you, if you haven't been with us during this past year when we've talked about this, or the last almost 3 years since I've been on the air, when I said the Mac agenda as being the plan and the vision of the plan, the mission of the plan, the goals, and the strategies that have been developed in such a way that it's almost beautiful as a work of art. I know that sounds really weird, but it's really incredibly beautiful as a work of art of strategizing and planning like we have not seen that many times in history. And its implementation, as I've in the past, I would say, the development of this Machiavellian agenda, is the equivalent of me saying that Machiavelli meets Sun Tzu, which represent the implementation of this for drinks and wine on the battlefield of public education, and that both of them should be smiling their asses off because it's working so well. The end game is to have all of us such that we are working for the new corporate state. We are all individualized. Collectivity is gone. We are individuals who are seeking things for ourselves first with virtually no concern for everyone else, how we get what it is we're seeking for. And I tried to talk about that once before, and I blew it, so I'm going to stop now until I can come back to this in a more detailed way and or better prepare you for it. But anyway, I have to say we're worse off, folks, because the personalized learning is rolling. It's rolling across the country, rolling across the globe, and it has all the muscle, political muscle, economic muscle, that they need to continue to roll without really impediments. Another area, and Turi sort of like touched on this, what I'm going to call, we have seen during this year, up to where we are today, this moment, what I'm going to call fake democracy. It's been exposed. It's been exposed for what it is. Our democracy, the notion of democracy, and everyone, you guys know this, was a democracy where everyone has equal rights, everyone has the right to vote, one person, one vote, everyone has equal opportunity to succeed, and all the constitutional guarantees are there. And America, ever since the 1770s, has been telling the world that we were an exception to the rest of the world, and that we had a representative, democratically elected government where we the people, for the people, by the people, was the rule. Whereas other countries had dictators, monarchies, you name it, America was this exceptionalist. We have never had a true democracy. Again, go back to your history. The people who developed the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, were all white, wealthy, powerful men who did not give the vote to women of any color, and of course, did not give the vote to the African-American, the Native Americans. They didn't even give it to white people if you were not wealthy. That was the beginning of the market. It was faked from the beginning. And for the last 250 years plus, it hasn't really, it had been some little gains towards it. But I think this year, we saw our democracy for what it really is. And we end this year, possibly for some, hopefully more than some, with our eyes a little wider open now about the true nature of our fake democracy. So I would say, and this could be a really mixed feeling here. Some would say, yes, we're worse off. Others would say, well, maybe we're better off because now we see it. And once we become, remember the paradigm, awareness, understanding, emotional engagement, and an individual or collective action. Now maybe the door has been opened to understanding and awareness, and we will not stand for this, and we will next time make sure there will be no next time and do our democracy. Good luck with that. I don't see it happening anytime, at least in my lifetime, but I do see more people becoming aware of this democracy. And I'll go a little bit further, folks. Just again, I didn't want to get into the election and get into Trump and what have you, but we are being bombarded every day about fake news, fake news, fake news, and who's faking the news. And then people coming forward who are in the media saying, hell, it's been fake news for a lot longer than just 2016. And people going, oh, my God, that's right. People, it's not just fake news. It's a fake democracy. And I have my notes here, and I said, this is when I go back and remind you of one of my all-time favorites, George Orwell. In 1984, we are living, and have been, for, in my opinion, for a long time, in the 1984, where you do have fake news because the government controlled the news, where you do have fake everything because if you express any difference from the government-mandated script, you see what happened to the freedom that you thought you had. You know, you could end up in some Guantanamo Bay or some other black spot that we don't even know about. And so I have here, we're back all over again. And there was a guy in baseball, Yogi Berra, and he would say, 1984 all over again. He wouldn't say 1984, but he was like deja vu all over again. And so we're there, and we have been there. And I'll also take you back to the shows that we did on The Matrix. And I think this time where we are now in this year should give us some pause in terms of, are we living in a matrix? Is that our reality? That we're in a matrix. A matrix has been built around us, a matrix that depends on us being plugged into it, and that becomes our reality. And very few people are unplugged, certainly not enough people unplugged from this false reality, that it will go on because there won't be enough people to challenge us. So it's an incredible time for me in terms of, I believe, where we are, that basically, folks, we're all connected, or most of us are connected. Again, I'll go back, and if you haven't, I remember now thinking, I have to say this, if you don't remember 1984, George Orwell's book, if you didn't see the movie, go to Spark Notes, Cliff Notes, on Amazon, a penny, plus shipping, of course, and get a copy of the condensed version of 1984. I want you to read it and take some notes. Compare what George Orwell said about that reality, that world then, to where we are today. And I'll give you this one hint all over again. George Orwell, during World War II, he was an intelligence agent for the British government. He was on the Russian desk. So he got to know Russia and the players there inside out. And like a lot of people during that time, they were so fearful that the communist ideology, communist society was going to take over the world. And they had their eyes towards China. And the notion that if these two ever got together, oh my God, what was going to happen to the rest of the world? They would be able to dominate the world. It was real, real fear to the point of almost being hysteric fear. So when he wrote 1984, how he came up with the year 1984, he said when the book was published, this was him before people knew about this, that he picked 35 years out, because a lot of people his age, if they were in the 30s or 40s, will still be alive in 1984. People born now, or now being back in the 40s, 43, 44, 45, would certainly, a lot of them would be alive. So by setting it in a short period of time, as opposed to way out 100, 200 years in the future, he wanted to frighten people to what may happen in their lifetime, and hence 1984. A few years back, I started something, and I guess I'll say this. I took his 35-year period, and I started a story. Remember I told you I used to do screenwriting, and it was 2043-48, where I think we are headed and where we're going to be in that time period, 35 years out. So looking at where we are today, I'm thinking we're kind of right on schedule. So for me, I come down again on that side of we're worse off now than we were when we started this year. Back to what is the most important thing, I think, to us is the privatization war, the campaign itself. What do you think, folks? Where are we today? No, December 18th, 2016, compared to December the 1st. I'm sorry, January the 1st, 2016. Are we better off or worse off or the same as relates to the privatization war? I'm giving you some time to think as if you guys are going to all of a sudden start having this conversation with me. But anyway, you're out there, you're in the trenches, teachers, parents, students, family members, community members. You see where our public education system is still being dismantled across the country, small towns, medium town, cities, big cities, Democratic control states, city government, Republican, doesn't seem to matter. So that the war still rages. And all the things that we've seen in the real beginning of 2002 with No Child Left Behind. And as I've said many times on this show, we go back to the 1980s and A Nation at Risk. I think whatever date that you pick, I think you're going to have to agree with me that whether you want to or not, that we're no better off now than we were at the beginning of the year. Back to politics, yes, there have been some victories, as I mentioned when Tory was on, Massachusetts, Tennessee, maybe some other places that have sort of what held the line. But for all of those places, probably dozens more that have gone over to the dark side. Now I'm going back to Star Wars. They've gone to the dark side. And I'm not optimistic today in terms of where we are. And I'm not optimistic in terms of come January 1st and we start a new year where we're going to be a year from today. And I'm not talking about you know who ascending to the throne. As I said not too long ago, the guy goes from the Donald to the president. Only in America, folks. Only in America. Other than a coup or something of this nature, would you have something like that happen? So, wow. We're coming to about 5 minutes or so left. Another item that I have here, and let's use this as a yardstick, standardized testing. VAM, value-added measures. Against teachers, school closures, takeovers, turnarounds, school to prison pipeline, charter schools. Some places where charter schools are growing so fast that you can't keep up with them. Even places like Los Angeles and the state of California. They have more charter schools today than they had the beginning of the year. I just saw some statistics yesterday about how fast charter schools are growing across the nation. And in certain areas, they are out distancing in terms of growth, the nation average. So to me, how you come down on that, whatever side of that issue, my side is we're worse off. This is one area where maybe if I'm going to have some optimism, it would be here, is that people are becoming aware, the old paradigm, and begin to understand. And certainly, their emotional engagement is throttling up. We see more parents joining protests against the privatization, against using VAM, value-added measures, to evaluate teachers. We're seeing more people beginning to understand the plight of teachers, the bullying of teachers by the system, and beginning, as we talked about the last 2 weeks, pushing teachers out of the profession. We also have seen this year rise of outside teacher prep programs. When I say outside, away from established university preparation program. Here in Buffalo, a school where some of the teachers that I know personally got their credentials through just announced that, I would say just been maybe a month or two, shutting down their teacher prep program. And there are other places that I'm aware of that they're shutting down because the number of students applying for this year and possibly next year and 5 years from now is dropped so drastically that they can't sustain their teacher prep program. So when we start talking about these things and we start looking at them just in this limited time frame of 12 months, the question, are you, we, I, better off at the end of this year than we were when this year started, or are we worse off? That's my sort of like summation. I really didn't want to go through all the issues that I have just mentioned and give you my assessment. I really was hoping that you guys would call in and give me your own assessment and your own criteria for assessing are we worse or better off, as opposed to me identifying the issues and giving you my argument for worse or better off. Okay, folks, we're coming to the end of my time, and I want to take what's left to say that, as Tori sort of mentioned, I do my end of year, but it's not the calendar year. It's from the year that started and to the end of that 52-week period. That's coming. But for today, right now, I want to go back and thank some people who have been so instrumental in the War Report coming on the air and staying on the air. Deborah Emerson, she helped me get started here at BBS. Doug, if you're listening, you guys have helped me get started and stay on the air. Joan Kramer, who I call my rock, who's listened to, I think, every single show and has always said, even when I knew that I blew it, you never can blow a show. Thank you, sweetie, for being with me and this year and all the other years. And then there's my rock of rocks, Joe Lee, who you guys know because she has her own space on Facebook. But you also know that she is my right, my left hand. It is we do the show. And as I always tell them, they really are the War Report, both the Facebook page and the show. I just carry the water for them. And for the rest of you, the people who have been with me and people who come in and out, thank you. And I'm hoping mightily that you have an incredible holiday season. Whatever your faith, whatever your circumstances, that you do have this incredible, incredible holiday season. Won't be back next Sunday because that's Christmas Day. Thinking I won't be back New Year's Day. And if that's the case, see you in 3 weeks. Yes, I'm coming back. I most definitely will finish out January into February, and then I'll do my assessment. But it's looking good. Thanks, everyone. And have a great holiday season.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.